The Tilehurst End Podcast.
By Reading fans, for Reading fans.
Hello everybody, welcome along to the latest Tilehurst End Podcast Extra. My name is Dan Wimbush. It is Friday the 15th of September 2023. Thank you very much for taking the time to download this episode. And a big thank you as well to our sponsors, ZCZ Films and footcoaching.com. I'll have a little bit more on both of those at the end of the show. Of course, only one major topic to talk about today. That is the points deduction suffered by Reading Football Club this week. I'm joined by local journalist Shamin Lee and Andy Preston to get into all of the details around that. What's next? Some of the major hurdles that Reading FC have got to overcome. Talk about potential future investors. And of course, we do talk about some of the on-the-pitch things as well. We've given our injury update. And of course, a little bit of a look ahead to the Bolton game as well. So stay tuned. Plenty to get into. Let's delve in.
The Tilehurst End Podcast.
Read the blog
on thetilehurstend.com.
Right, I am joined by my usual partners in crime. He's back after being rested for the last show. Shamin, welcome back.
It's good to be back. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. And Andy Preston is with us as well. How are you, my friend?
Yeah, very good, mate. How are you?
Not so bad. Now, look, this show is littered with bad fortune because anytime we get together, something bad happens. We might have to get cancelled, boys. We might have to never meet again.
Absolutely. But it came through this time. The news came in before this time. So hopefully it will that will continue in the future.
Exactly. And I want to start with a bit of joviality because let's face it, it's not a great time to be talking about Reading Football Club at the moment because it is just fraught with pain, anguish and uncertainty. So let's do our best to cut through it and get to the facts, and then we can kind of expand on that into a little bit more of what we know. Shamin, let's start with you. First of all, how surprised were you that Reading did end up with this points, well, triggering this suspended points deduction?
Honestly, not at all. I mean, I think anyone who's followed Reading over the past few years will know that we're not great with things like this. When the ruling came in last month with the 1 point, with the three suspended, I don't know about anyone else, but I took that as a 4 point penalty. And sort of just assumed that that would happen. You know, we all know how tricky it's been for the owner to pay the monthly wages, to be able to pay the deposit on top of that. You know, it was always going to be a tall order. So I don't think that I was too surprised when the news came in on Wednesday. And I don't think many of the fans would have been too.
Yeah, I mean, Andy, what was your reaction to this? Did you think everything was kind of on the right track? Are those money issues have been sorted? Or was there always, you know, this feeling that, well, this was inevitable?
No, I just have to echo what Shamin said there. I think it was inevitable ever since the 1 point came in with the suspended points that, you know, the extra ones were going to come in. Yeah, it's just such a shame to have all this hanging over us and having to be talking about this still. You know, I don't think it's an issue that's going to go away anytime soon. And, you know, it's just such a shame.
Is there a sense, I mean, it's very hard to, again, cut through all of the speculation and rumour that we see, but is there the sentiment that, you know, they never really had any intention of paying this? And that, again, that money, Shamin, was always being held back for the wages.
From what I understand, yeah, I think that there wasn't really any intention from the hierarchy to pay it, just from a standpoint of not being able to. I mean, when you don't have the money, you have to decide where to put it and where to kind of cut your losses. And I guess that they kind of figured out that not paying the deposit would be the lesser of two evils, I guess, and that paying the wages and paying HMRC was the priority this month. It's a bad position to be in the first place, where you're having to pick you know, which of the three things, you know, you're going to be paying this month. We knew that these three things would have to be paid, and there was 28 days to fulfill that, to do that, and the club weren't able to do it. So yeah, that is my understanding, that the club, you know, the mood around the club and the noise coming from the club was that it was very unlikely for the deposit to be paid.
Andy, in your conversation with people at the club and your sort of understanding of the situation, is there any fear that this could get worse before it gets better?
Yeah, I'd love to sit here and say that, you know, that is the last of it and, you know, we can start looking towards the future and things getting more positive. But unfortunately, I don't think that's going to be the case under this ownership. I think these problems are going to keep reoccurring. Every month we have the tax bill and the wages to be paid, and you know, we're just never going to be sure if that's going to be paid under this ownership. And I think, you know, the only kind of positives we can look to is hoping that a takeover can be completed, you know, as soon as possible. But, you know, no one knows how long that could take. That could take a long time. So, yeah, it is so disruptive to the whole club and everyone working there, and, you know, the playing staff, the coaching staff have got such a difficult job to do under these circumstances.
I mean, one of the things we cling on to is these new kind of these new EFL rules, which kind of prevent clubs from talking about potential takeovers and significant investment until it's been ratified with the EFL. So there is that kind of, I guess, maybe forlorn hope that maybe, Jamin, something is actually going on in the background, and it might be a bit further along than we thought. I know you guys spoke to Ruben Sellers yesterday, and he did kind of hint that something was in the pipeline. I mean, again, how do we have any idea how far along in the process that might be, and how positive should we be looking at any potential movement in the takeover front?
Well, Ruben did mention that there had been what he called movement with investors kind of being around the club. From my understanding, you know, there have been people coming into Bearwood, coming into the stadium to have a look around. But he wasn't able to give a time frame on that. My understanding is that it's not something that will happen in the coming weeks. It's something that it's more likely to be more on the month sort of scale. But yeah, I think that that's always going to be the case when it comes to buying any part of a football club, whether it's, you know, on a minority or majority ownership basis. It's always quite a drawn out process. We've seen that with Everton, who have been taken over today. That process took quite a long time, and their new owners had kind of been touted for quite a while in the media. So yeah, I think that it's good, like you say, it's positive that there are people in and around the club who are potentially interested, but in terms of a time frame and a time scale, I don't think it's one of those things that, you know, that we're too close to seeing finished in the coming weeks.
Andy, how do you kind of judge the mood sort of from people working for the football club, both players, staff, behind the scenes people that you've spoken to? Was there a feeling of, well, actually, kind of like what you've been alluding to at the top of the show, where we kind of knew this was coming, it's still business as usual, you know, we're cracking on, or do you think that morale and everything has taken another big dent because of what we've seen this week?
I think the thing is, like, no one around working at the club can actually do anything to change the situation as much as they want to. You know, this is solely on the owner, and, you know, anything they do is not going to change that situation, you know. And I think the people they've got in place underneath the hierarchy are doing a great job working so hard that, you know, that goes all the way from the playing staff, the coaching staff, to, you know, everyone else in the background. You know, they, obviously they can't come out and speak out against the owner, but I'm sure most people are just fed up with this situation and wanting it to change. And for the moment, we can only focus on, you know, what's going on the pitch and try and hope that there's some positives there.
I mean, Jimin, what are kind of the next sort of real roadmarks to be looking out for as Reading fans? You know, again, I kind of touched on, is it going to get worse before it gets better? Are there major hurdles the club still need to get through? And, you know, people, you know, the word administration has been talked about. We've heard about winding up petitions potentially in the future, further points deductions, fines. I mean, realistically, what kind of hurdles are coming up for Reading?
I think in the short term, next week, we've got the tax that needs to be paid to HMRC, the tax bill. And then the week after that, we've got the wage bill that needs to be paid, of course. You'd like to think the club will be able to cover those two. If they're not, then obviously, if the HMRC bill isn't paid, then we've got the possibility of a winding up petition. If the wages aren't paid, then it's points. Well, I'd imagine that it would be a further 3 points as well. Depending on how late the payments are, or if they're not paid, or if they're a certain proportion of the wages are paid. It depends. It really depends on what happens there. But in terms of the kind of short-term milestones, I guess, those are the two nearest ones. But as Andy alluded to, it's very much a kind of month-by-month rolling basis. Are we going to be able to pay the wages? And it's just going to be the same thing until we are able to bring in new owners. I don't imagine that that situation will change anytime soon.
Andy, what was the mood of rumour sayers like in that news conference that you held yesterday? Did you get, you know, was there a sense of defiance again? Was there a bit of a sense of, oh, you know, could you see, I mean, just overall, you know, what was that mood like? What was his mood like?
Yeah, I think the whole time he's been here and conducted himself has been really admirable. He's working under such a difficult situation. You know, obviously he knew that coming into the job. Maybe, you know, hoped that it wouldn't be quite as bad as it is. But yeah, I think he has been defiant. And I think, you know, he's made a lot of changes in terms of on the pitch. You know, he's made some really positive changes, him and Mark Bowen, with the playing squad compared to what it was last season. You know, I think he, at the moment, he's doing all that he can. I'm sure, you know, behind the scenes, he's, you know, just as pissed off as everyone else is at this situation. I think, you know, from his standpoint, he just wants to focus as much as he possibly can on things on the pitch, as difficult as that is to do.
I mean, Jermaine, we've also seen over the past year, I mean, we're no strangers to this position as Reading fans now. We've seen points deductions in two previous seasons. And on both of those occasions, after points deductions, form did drop off. Are you concerned that already this is a group of players that are already just going to be thinking, oh, great, you know, we're just looking over our shoulder. What's the point? You know, am I going to get paid? Do you think this will actually have a tangible effect on that squad, or do you think they'll be able to sort of put it on the back burner?
It's a really tricky question to answer because this squad is so different from the previous squad that we've had just in terms of their age. You know, you'd imagine that being young, you might have that enthusiasm to try and bounce back as compared to someone who's maybe a bit more kind of storied and has had a bit more experience. But at the same time, it will take a toll. I mean, you mentioned it there. Not being sure about wages being paid is one thing, but also just seeing points that you're collecting through hard-fought wins being taken away must be so demoralizing. I can imagine in kind of our line of work, just imagine writing a whole bunch of articles and then them getting taken away from you. It's kind of demoralizing in itself. So yeah, it's a really tricky one to kind of predict. All I know, and I'm going to echo what Andy said, is that Ruben Sellers has been as good as gold kind of since he's come in. He's taken everything in his stride and he's not really used the points deductions as an excuse as such. He's acknowledged them. And obviously they are going to play a part in our kind of season this year, but you know, he's not blamed it for losses. You know, after losses, he's, you know, strictly been talking about football, which I think is always a positive. So yeah, I think that it's a really good question. You're right. In previous years, we've not responded very well to them. But potentially the fact that these ones are slightly more expected, maybe the players could be a little bit more prepared. I think that it's to be seen, and I guess we'll see on Saturday how the players react to it.
I'm just going to kind of close the book for now on the ownership and the strife going on, but I wanted to finish by talking about Dai Young. We've had galvanising calls from various sections of the fan base saying, you know, we need to protest, we need to do this, do that, the other. Is this at the stage now, and Andy, I'll start with you, do you think that this is a case of fans can influence what Dai Young is doing? Or has he got to the point where he's just looking to get out? He's disinterested. What is the vibe you're getting from the actual owner himself about what, I mean, obviously we don't get to speak to him and you don't get to speak to him, but from what you've heard and come across information wise, what is Dai Young's state of mind and, you know, interest level at the moment?
Yeah, I think everyone would love to hear from him himself, but you know, we know that's not going to happen. You know, we can only assume that he is disinterested in the whole thing. If wages aren't being paid, if tax bills aren't being paid, you know, and if he does want to sell the club, I think it's realistic that he'll want a good value for it. And, you know, at this moment in time, I'm not sure that's realistic. And just on investors as well, if someone was going to come in as a minority shareholder, you know, how beneficial is that to them? Because, you know, they'd be ploughing a lot of money into the club without actually having much of a say. So, I think the only crumb of hope really is that Dai Young will sell at some point. You know, we've got to try and be optimistic, I guess. But I'm not sure it's going to be a smooth process.
Jermaine, I mean, where do you think the fans, it's so hard, I know this is a really tough question to answer, but where should fans be directing their anger? I mean, I've seen people are taking a pop at the EFL, they're taking a pop at Reading, obviously the owner, and all manner of ways. I mean, what realistically, do you think, from a fan's point of view, would you sort of say, you know, wearing a Reading cap, a fan's hat, what would you kind of be saying would be make the most effect?
Oh, I think it has to be towards the owner, or at least the owner and the CEO, because I don't think that the anyone else in the club has done anything wrong. I mean, if anything, everyone else who's working tirelessly day in, day out has gone above and beyond to make sure that we've got a team that can be competitive this year in League One. It's an interesting point that you bring up about the EFL. It's something that Ruben was asked yesterday. He mentioned how demoralizing the points deductions were, but what he did say was that, you know, he's not really sure how else the EFL can punish a club if not through points. So yeah, it's a really tricky one, but I think that the vast majority of anger from the fans, and I know that I feel the same way, has to be directed towards the very top. And you know, you mentioned Dae Jong there, and yes, absolutely, as the owner, he's got to take like the vast majority of the flak. But we were also talking about a CEO who's been AWOL since we got relegated, who's not been around the training ground, not been in Reading. That's, for me, absolutely unforgivable, because the bottom line is that he's the link between us, the club, and Dae Jong. And if he's not around, then we've not really got a hope in hell of trying to create any form of communication with him and to start fixing things like long term. So, yeah, lots of reasons to be angry. But I think it's really important for that to be separated from anger towards the team, the players, because they are young, they are trying to do their best. So yeah, it's just really important that we channel that anger in the right way and towards the people who deserve it.
I think it's, you know, important to note some of the anger as well towards the EFL, because, you know, they are culpable in some of this, because, you know, obviously they ratified Dae Jong buying the club in the first place. So, you know, they do have to take some responsibility for this as well.
Yeah, look, hopefully enough reform could be made. Obviously, there's a new football regulator that the government are trying to put through as well, can protect clubs from falling into this situation in the future. But I guess, you know, I had the Deeds Judge for the EFL from Sky Sports on this show a couple of weeks ago, Simeon Gullum, and he was sort of pointing out that, you know, the EFL are just a league organiser. They don't have direct control over these clubs. It's not like they can just, like maybe MLS can do and certain American sports, where they can just take a franchise away and just say, no, we're going to do something with it. We're going to kick you out. You know, his point was that clubs have to be allowed to fail, and if Reading are being run badly, it sucks for Reading fans, but we can't be propped up at the expense of well-run clubs below us, clubs outside the EFL who are doing everything right. It's so look, it's a really tricky situation for all concerned. And I was just going to say, just from a PSA to everybody out there, I can understand the anger, I can understand the frustration, and that fans will be keen to show that frustration, but for all of you individually, just please try and keep on the right side of the laws and the stadium regulations. The last thing you want to do is end up with a stadium ban or a banning order for doing something because you love the football club. You know, look, the Self Will We Die movement and things like that are working hard to put pressure on, and everybody's trying to put the pressure on. But I'll just say to individuals out there, just really think long and hard before doing anything rash. Because as I said, the last thing you want to do is end up in you know, potentially life-changing trouble because of something that's unfortunately out of our control. But look, we'll move on from that. Let's get back to on the pitch matters, because that's far more fun to talk about. Jermaine, where are we on the injury front? We've had this two-week international break now. Are we going to see many fresh faces and returning faces back for this game with Bolton tomorrow?
So I'll start with the good news. Tyler Bindon's back after his concussion before the international break. So there's a potential start for him there. I know that him and Nelson Abbey had developed a bit of a strong partnership before he got injured. So that could be rekindled. The list of injuries is there are a few. So if I miss anyone out, Andy, feel free to step in. I think Nesta Guinness-Walker is out for 10 days. Sam Smith's got another couple of weeks left. He is close, though. Lewis Wing might miss out on Saturday. That one's a bit of a 50-50. Maradi Kamara needs 3 to 4 weeks to get back from a hamstring injury. And Ovi is Ovi, so he's still AWOL at the moment. So there's still a way to go before he comes back. It's apparently the same injury that he's just aggravated again.
Yeah, Andy, it's Ovi Ejaari that is the name that, again, unfortunately, is being talked about by Reading fans. It's just such an unfortunate situation for all parties, because we all know the kind of damage he can do on his day. But, you know, is there this sense that it's just, you know, it's just not going to happen for him?
Yeah, I think so. It seems like this injury has been going on for months and months and months. The last time I saw him, I think it was November of last year. So, you know, it's kind of just getting ridiculous at this point. I don't want to speculate on anything, but, you know, it seems like there must be a bigger issue other than the injury. And it's a shame because, like you say, on his day, he's a fantastic player, and at this level he could cause some serious damage, and you know, he's a player that could Reading could really use right now. But you know, it's just another situation where you've got a player on fairly big wages who's not contributing.
Jimin, anything you want to add on Mr. Ejaari?
Yeah, I guess my question would be, there's no doubt that he's a talented player, but would he fit into a Ruben Selle's team? I mean, it's such a high octane way of playing. It's a really intense way of playing. I'm not sure if that really kind of fits in with the way that Ovi plays. There's no doubt, like I said, he's technically very, very gifted. He has a lot to offer a football team, but whether or not he would fit into a Ruben Selle's football team is to be seen. And I'm not sure that he would.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. You know, you've got those two wide 10 positions. I guess he would slot into the left somewhere. But like you say, if he could carry out the high intensity pressing, I'm not sure, because that's never been something we've seen in his game before. So, yeah, whether he's even a Ruben Selle's type player is an interesting point.
Well, especially after a limited amount of football he's had. I mean, we've seen, unfortunate examples in Reading past, players like Cem Karacan, who all action dynamo before his injuries, and they just slowed him down to the point where he just wasn't able to contribute to Reading anymore. Mikael Leisurewood as well. So I'm hoping, look, as a human being, it's, you know, it's his profession, it's his livelihood. He's hoping that whatever is impacting him, you know, whatever's keeping him out of the game can be remedied, and he contributes, especially for Reading, because if, as I said, if he gets back anywhere near, you know, the kind of player that we saw take apart, you know, a championship winning Fulham defence not so long ago, you know, we'll be in for a real treat. But look, we'll just have to keep an eye on that one. Just before we finish off as well, of course, we did have the transfer window ended. I know, Andy, you joined myself and James for our little preview show, and I think we got pretty much everything right that we talked about, which was nice. Nailing the sort of predictions and the targets we were going for. Also saw Dom Ballard arrive as the sort of big main hope. We didn't see him in that Cambridge game because of the international break, but is there a sense of optimism that, you know, do you think we'll see him tomorrow?
Yeah, I think there's definitely a good chance. I think at the very least he'll be in the matchday squad. And I asked Ruben about him yesterday, and you know, he seemed full of promise about him. He gave him his debut in the Premier League for Southampton last year, and seems to think he's ready to make the step up to senior football. You know, he's made a big impact in the youth leagues and has scored loads and loads of goals, and has been a star for England under 19s too. So, yeah, that's a promising one. So it'd be interesting to see how he fits in there. Hopefully, can complement someone like Kelvin E up top. So that could be one to keep an eye on for tomorrow.
Yeah, we're saying as well, of course, Sayers was asked, you know, can you bring in any other free agents? And apparently, no, we are at our budget. So this is the group we have now. But Jimin, do you expect to see anything majorly different as we go into this sort of second major chunk of the season based on, you know, the first 5 or 6 weeks? Do you think Ruben Selle is going to make anything, change anything major?
It's a really interesting point. I think that the beginning of the season, we've sort of seen two different 11 sort of feature, the slightly older group and then the slightly younger group. I think as we go forward, that will sort of turn into more of a hybrid of the two, and Ruben will find that 11 that he really likes and the 11 that he goes with. We're in the Papa John's trophy, so then there might be opportunities for other players to feature in that. But I think hopefully my feeling will be that there'll be a little bit more stability with the team that he picks week in, week out, that he'll give sort of the same players more game time and time to kind of gel and things like that. So I think it's a really exciting time to see, you know, really young players playing alongside players who have maybe had a little bit more experience at this level as well.
Yeah, Andy, we talked, you know, about on the day we recorded that transfer show that Andy Carroll departing for Amiens, and we know that Nesta Guinness-Walker is injured. The other name from that kind of trio that was potentially on the way out was Tom Holmes. Now, we saw him feature for the under-21s in this past week. Is there the feeling now that he's going to be reintegrated? Was Ruben keen to talk about him at all this week?
Yeah, he was mentioned. To be honest, I can't see it being a case of him being reintegrated straight away, like he's going to come back into the starting 11 or even make the squad, to be honest. You know, he reiterated the point that he was in desperate need of match fitness and needing minutes and got that for the 21s on Monday. I can't see that being something that's resolved really quickly where he comes straight back in. But, you know, it's a really long season with plenty of games, so I'm sure he'll be utilised at some point.
Jamin, would you be bringing Tom Holmes back into your matchday squad tomorrow if fitness depending?
I think that there are sort of two things. Number one, I think that Tyler Bindon, Harley Dean, Nelson Abbey have done a really good job at the heart of the defence so far. So it'd be difficult to see him coming in for any one of those three. The other thing is that Ruben's gone out of his way to say that what he expects from his centre-backs is to cover a lot of ground during the games, to cover big spaces. Whether Tom Holmes is the type of defender to do that, I'm not so sure. There's going to be a lot of scar tissue with Tom Holmes, given how many goals he's been kind of involved with conceding over the past few seasons. And maybe he just needs a bit of time to kind of take stock and just to, you know, sit out for a bit. I know that, you know, you look at the likes of, and I'm not trying to compare the two at all, but you look at the likes of Harry Maguire, and me and Andy were talking about this during the week, but just having that little bit of time out of the starting 11 could actually do you some good sometimes. And I think that could certainly be the case with Tom as well. So no, I don't really envisage him starting any games anytime soon.
And just finally, because I've got to do the bullseye thing for those of our audience who are old enough to remember, for Here's What We Could Have Won. Was there anything either of you two heard on deadline day or around the window, any deals that we just couldn't get over that? I've seen Joel Pereira finally arrive to kind of complete the goalkeeping set, as it were. But were there any other deals that either ingoing or outgoing that just fell apart at the final hurdle? Andy, I'll start with you.
There were some talks about Kilkenny on loan from Bournemouth. Whether there was actually any concrete interest or chance of that happening, I don't know, to be honest. But yeah, there were certainly inquiries about him. But yeah, I don't think it was ever that close to being done. So I don't think so. I think the club can be fairly satisfied with what they got done. I think everyone was hoping to get in another striker and a left back, and that's what they got done. So, you know, and there's no more chance of free agents coming in at the moment. So this is the squad we've got.
Yeah, Jamin, any shoulda, woulda, couldas?
I think it was just Kilkenny that I heard. But I think given the fact that we were so close to our budget limit, I think once Moller and Ballard came in on deadline day, I think that was pretty much us done anyway.
Well, look, this is the group we've got to go through. Fingers crossed that some of those injuries return. And also fingers crossed that I can get the two of you two to return. And we're not actually talking about some bad news next time.
Fingers crossed.
No, that would be great. Yeah. We can just focus on the pitch stuff. It'd be a miracle.
Oh, yeah. Fingers crossed. I mean, look, as a Reading fan who was at that 1995 playoff final, I am forever scarred by Bolton Wanderers. So any excuse to beat them, even 28 years on, will be met with glee by me. Before I let you go, Jamin, starting with you, where can people find your fine work?
So I'm at JML Journo on most social media platforms.
And Andy?
At Andy Preston 96 on Twitter, or X now, and at Reading Today and Woking Today.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter
at The Tarlhurst End
and facebook.com/The Tarlhurst End.
So once again, a big thank you to Andy and Jamin for their time, and we'll be back with another show with the both of them sometime soon. Again, schedule to be confirmed. Just before we go, again, a massive thank you to today's sponsor, ZCZ Films. They've been back in the Tarlhurst End podcast for a number of years, and we really do thank them for their continuing support. And of course, our latest sponsor, the podcast extra sponsor, that is footcoaching.com. If you are looking to get at the top of your EAFC 24 game, of course, it comes out next week. If you're looking to improve your skills and get sharp on that, head over to footcoaching.com to sign up for one of their fantastic coaching packages. Lots of different packages available, And if you use the code TTE, you get an exclusive discount as well. So again, footcoaching.com for that. And if you do want to hear talk about FIFA and EAFC, as it will be now, of course, the Foot in Review podcast, I am a part of that. I am one of the hosts. Check that out on all of your podcast platforms. Add it to, you know, your playlist after this very Tarlhurst End podcast. Speaking of which, of course, Ben and Ross will be back. They've been doing fantastic work. They did a full Bolton preview and their thoughts just before the points deduction earlier this week, but still a very relevant show. So I do encourage you to go and check that out. And of course, the tarlhurstend.com for all of the latest match reports, ratings, analysis, your one-stop shop for all of that. But that is enough from me. Again, I hope everyone has a lovely weekend. Try not to let this, you know, we're all going through this pain together as Reading fans. And I just hope that there are brighter times ahead, but look out for each other, you know, as they say, back the boys and make some noise. Do your best to support this team on the pitch the best that you can. Hope everyone has a lovely weekend and come on, you are.
The Tarlhurst End podcast
by Reading fans for Reading fans.